So Titus chapter 2, notice verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now here's the verses I want you to notice. That they may teach the young women too, okay? The aged are to teach the young women what it means to be a woman.
Amen.
What it means to be a biblical lady.
Amen.
Okay, what are those things? To be sober. To love their husbands. To love their children. To be discreet. Chaste. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. All right, now turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to read all these verses here. For a moment. Notice verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God.
Amen.
For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again.
Amen.
Neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous.
Amen.
Now that's a warning to men about a strange woman. And though I'm going to preach about that tonight, and you may think this message is to women only, but it's not.
Amen.
Because there's a warning here given to men.
Amen.
To beware of the strange woman. Now go over to Proverbs chapter 7. Let's pick it up in verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye.
Amen.
Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Amen.
Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Would to God we believe that, we embrace
Amen.
Wisdom that way.
Amen.
That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, I want to deal with more of these verses in a little bit. We want to stay here, but let's pray and ask the Lord to help. Father, I thank you for your goodness.
Yes, thank you.
Lord, I need you this evening. God, you know my heart. I want to be a blessing. I want to be used of thee as best as I know how. I yield myself, ask you to take control of my words and my mind tonight. May your word go forth with power and clarity this evening.
Amen.
Please give us all understanding this evening. Help us to heed the warnings that we find here in your word. And so, Lord, I ask for a fresh filling of thy spirit. I do pray if there's someone here tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that tonight they'd come to know Christ as Savior. But for the believer, Lord, that you'd teach us from this example about biblical femininity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For several Wednesdays when I was here, I've been dealing with the subject of biblical femininity. In other words, what it truly means biblically to be a woman. What it means biblically to be a lady, to be a female. And we've been defining for us what is a female's God-given purpose. Lady, tonight, do you understand why you were put here? Why did God create you? Why did he make you a woman? Does that mean something? It does. Now, in the world we live in, they wouldn't say that. But it does. What is your God-given purpose? What is your God-given role in this world? What is the God-desired characteristics that he wants you to have in your life? And the reason this is important is because when a female, or anyone for that matter, understands and embraces and fulfills her God-given role and purpose in this world, understand what that's going to do. That will bring you the greatest joy in your life. When we understand, when we embrace, when we fulfill our God-given purpose for this world,
Amen.
That's what it's all about, amen?
Amen?
It'll produce the happiest marriage possible, the strongest family possible, and the godliest children possible if we understand and embrace and fulfill our roles. A man, he's a man in the house, and the woman, she's a woman.
Amen.
But what does that mean? Do you know, wife and woman, if you fulfill your role, you'll be a help to your husband. You'll be a blessing to your family and a vital part of helping your family fulfill and your husband fulfill God's will for his life. And that's so important. Don't diminish the role of a woman, the biblical role of a woman.
Amen.
Now tonight we've read several passages. I just read them a few moments ago. You may want to just glance back at Titus chapter 2. We're only going to glance there because we're going to depart from that. What I've read describes two completely opposite females. I mean, we're talking at two ends of the spectrum, total opposites, if you will. The first passage we read or read in Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4 describes the attitude and the attributes of a godly woman.
Amen.
Now, that's not the only place we find them.
Amen.
We also see in Proverbs chapter 31 the same thing. Paul in Titus chapter 2 is writing to Titus, the pastor of the church, and he's telling the aged women of their responsibility to teach the younger women about what it means to be a godly woman. By the way, I mentioned that on the VBS Wednesday. And he gives us here eight attributes that are important that describe what a godly woman is. They're in Titus chapter 2. Look at them. We'll see more of this later. She is to be sober, serious-minded. She is to love her husband. She is to love her children, to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home and good. And look at that next word, obedient to their own husbands. You say, I hate that word. Well, that's what the Bible says. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I'm hoping to cover these in the weeks to come, each of them, perhaps in groups. But then we see the opposite, the second set of passages that I read in Proverbs chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 7. Just picked a couple of places that describes the exact opposite. It describes the attributes of a female that the Bible names the strange woman. So on one side, we have the godly woman from Titus chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 31. Then the flip side of the coin, the other side of the spectrum, however you want to say it, we find what the Bible describes as a strange woman. You say, why is she strange? Well, she's not called strange because she's weird. She's not called strange because she has some kind of odd behavior. That's a strange woman there. No, not at all. She is called a strange woman because she's the exact opposite of what God desires.
Amen.
Strange. She does the exact opposite that God has designed for her. And we're going to look at her tonight and see how we compare, ladies, to her. So I want to preach on the subject. Notice the title of the antithesis of biblical femininity. Would you listen closely tonight? I think this is so important.
Amen.
You see, in order to achieve biblical femininity, every female needs to study this strange woman. Look at her. Tell me what you see. Read about her. Mark her attributes. See them. Understand her mindset. See how she thinks. And the reason that she should be studied by every female, and every male, by the way,
amen,
is not to emulate her,
right,
but rather so that you never become her.
Amen.
This is what you don't want. Oh, we see examples all over the Bible. These are some folks that I want to be like, but then there's other examples of people I don't want to be like.
Amen.
For ladies, this is one of them. The strange woman. A lesson on what not to be. But sad to say, this is the woman that the world has produced. This is a woman of which even many Christian women, many Christian young ladies have adopted at least some, if not all, of her attributes. You say, not me. Let's see. I hope not. I hope we can look at that, this woman, this strange woman, and say, I don't have anything she has.
Amen.
I don't think the way she thinks. I'm not like her at all. That's what we want.
Amen.
And tonight, if you see even a hint of one of these characteristics, one of these attributes in yourself, may I say this, get rid of it immediately.
Amen.
Don't waste any time.
Amen.
Get on your face before God and say, Lord, help me. I want to get rid of this attribute. I want to get rid of this mindset. Make me what you want me to be.
Amen.
Would you do that tonight? Or will it just be one of those head nodding messages and we all go home and get out of here early?
Lord have mercy.
No, more than that. It must be more than that.
Amen.
This is more than just a religious exercise tonight.
Amen.
It's a time for all of us to examine our hearts.
Amen.
And ask God to help us.
Amen.
In areas that need help. So you ready to look at her, this strange woman? Let's see what she's like. Let's consider, first of all, I'm going to show you four things tonight about this strange woman. Number one, consider her heart. Her heart. Would you turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 17? Notice the Bible says, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. We're still in the context here of this strange woman. We read in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. The phrase strange woman is mentioned in 9 verses in the Bible. 8 times in the book of Proverbs, 1 time in the book of Judges, and the book of Proverbs gives us some distinct details concerning her.
Amen.
Here in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 17, we read something very interesting about this strange woman. Again, it's talking about the strange woman. Notice she forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. What we learn about her is that she could have been something other than what she became.
Amen.
She didn't have to be the strange woman. Her life could have been different. She knew what was right. She knew what the Bible says. Notice, forgetteth the covenant of her God. She somewhere in her life was instructed. She had a guide. She had every opportunity to choose a better path than she chose, to live by better principles that she was living by, to have a different life. But instead, she chose otherwise.
Amen. Right.
She chose to forget her godly guide and forsake the covenant of her God. She chose to turn her heart away from God and His Word and to go her own way. That's sad if you ask me.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? Here was a lady somewhere along the line where she heard the Bible, she heard the Word of God, she knew what was being said, maybe even nodded her head in a service like this one tonight. Yet she chose to say, I don't want that. I want to turn my heart. I want to do things my own way. It's a heart problem. You see, the world and the flesh and the devil drew her away from God's ways. The world and the flesh and the devil and all those influences upon her convinced her of something that was not true. It convinced her that God's way was not the best way and that her way was better. But it wasn't.
Amen.
And may I say it never is.
Amen.
You see, her issue before she did anything, before she took a step of action, something was going on in her heart where she rejected what God said about biblical femininity. It was a heart issue. By the way, that's where it all begins.
Amen.
It all begins in the heart.
Right.
Proverbs 16:25 tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, sometimes we get the idea, well, I think I have a better way. I think I have a better idea. Oh, I know what the Bible says, and I get all that, but you know what? I want to go this way. You know, if you could look inside of her heart, you know what you'd find after she chose that way and went that way? You'd see a woman, a young lady that was discontent. You'd see a young lady that was bitter, that was angry, that was fighting her flesh. She knew what she was supposed to do and didn't want to do it. Can you imagine every time she heard a message preached, how angry and bitter she got inside of her heart? Maybe that's someone here tonight. Just saying. See, the reason for it, the bad attitude, was her heart. You know, I think she was a lonely person, to be quite honest. You know, I could list, and you could list, probably a dozen or more young ladies who did exactly what this strange woman did. Exactly. They grew up in a Christian home. They heard all the right things. They could say, I believe the King James Bible, and we preach the Bible. Some even went to Christian school and were taught the things of God. But somewhere along the line, their hearts departed from God and His Word, and they had the idea, I have a better way. The line is long of them. If you're in that line, get out of it.
Amen.
The moment the opportunity presented itself for them to break loose and break out, often it's when they turn 18, they forsook the God and the guide of their youth. Would you stop for a moment and look at them today? They used to sit in these chairs, perhaps in the red pews. They were there one time. Now they're in terrible marriages. Some have had children out of wedlock. Some have been divorced. And we could go on and on about what happened. But may I say this? None of them are better because of it.
Amen.
What makes you think you have the idea that if you go a certain route away from God, it's going to work out different for you?
Amen.
It's not.
Amen.
But you know, I can also think of some that took a step out into the world. They turned their head to that direction and took a step, got a taste of it, but then fled back to God, realizing, no, God's way is a better way. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for God's grace. Thank God that they didn't keep going in that direction and they realized, I'm going in a direction I don't want to go. And they came back.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. I can think of many wives tonight who are discontent with their role. We're going to talk about this as a wife and a mother. Here they are sitting in their houses and they're missing. They think they're missing out in life because of their role as a wife and a mother and so forth. And what's happening is their mind and their heart is beginning to stray away from God. If that's you tonight, you better run back to the cross. Run back to Calvary. Run back to the feet of the foot of God. Say, God, help me to get my heart right with you. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't think you watching that, as my dad called it, the idiot box, for hours on end, or looking on the internet for hours on end. Don't think that's not going to influence you. It will. It'll tell you this is the way to go. This is what's right. This will make you happy. It will not. Listen to the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
And guard your heart.
Amen.
So I asked you tonight, how's your heart? Again, look at verse 17, and which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So we see, number one, her heart. But then number two, I want you to notice her home. Her home. Go over to Proverbs chapter 7. It's interesting, and I mentioned this just a moment ago. As we read the continuing story of the strange woman here in Proverbs chapter 7. We read in verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Note stubborn. Notice the next phrase. Her feet abideth not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth wait at every corner. Would you mark that phrase down? Her feet abide not in her house. Why is that? Why isn't she home? I'll tell you why. She doesn't want to be there. Doesn't interest her. To the strange woman, watch this, home is seen as a prison. Instead of seeing her home as God wants her to see it, as a sanctuary, and instead of seeing her role as a sacred responsibility, instead of loving her home and living for her home, she sees it as a place from which to escape whenever possible. I can't wait to get out of here. She doesn't like to be home. She doesn't like to stay home. She doesn't like to be with her family. She'd rather be going places. She'd rather be doing things. She'd rather be buying things. She'd rather be free, quote, free, if you will, to come and go as she pleases. That's how she views her home. Do you know that modern day feminism, and perhaps we could even say radical feminism, holds stay-at-home moms in disdain? They're looked down upon as if, what are you doing? Wasting your life. You could be doing so much more. If you notice, worldly women rule the media. Have you noticed that? Boasting of their liberalism and their supposed liberty. Yet a quick peek behind the scenes at their personal lives, what you'll find is broken homes and failed marriages and dysfunctional children and angry women. That's what you'll find. But notice her attitude towards her home. You know, Sheryl Ross wrote in her book on biblical femininity, quote, "Never let anyone hold you in disdain for your desire to be a good wife and a godly mother. Never trade in your calling for a career. Make your husband your hero, your home your palace, and your children your priority." You say, "Preacher, I just can't do that." Then something's wrong. Amen. You're not seeing things right. Maybe there's a little iota of the strange woman inside of your heart. Because that's how she views her home. She doesn't want to be there. So we see her heart, and we see her home. But then notice number three, we see her hunt. I like hunting, but that's not the hunting I'm talking about. This woman's on the prowl. What's she looking for? Action. That's what she's looking for. She's looking for a man. Notice what we read in Proverbs chapter 7. I'll read more of this. But the story goes, passing through the street near her corner, talking about this young man void of understanding in verse 7. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark light. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said to him, "I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee, liar." She's a liar. She's on the hunt. You see, the strange woman does not wait on God's timing for a husband. The strange woman is impatient. Amen. She's on the hunt for a man. That's what she wants. In fact, as we see here in our text, this strange woman is willing to violate all of God's principles in this area of life. Why? To get what she wants. How about you, young lady? Does that sound like you? She is driven by her flesh. Why? She is in pursuit. Notice some things about her hunt, and you'll identify the strange woman. Number one is this. Look at her clothing. What is she wearing? By the way, we spent the last few days in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sin City. The de-clothing capital of the world. Watch your eyes. Watch the billboards. Be guarded. That's the strange woman. We read in verse 10, if you would, and behold, there met him a woman with, notice, with the attire of a harlot. Notice her clothing. Would you look at her? You want to identify the strange woman? Look at what she wears. You want to ask yourself, is the strange woman inside of me, young lady? Look at your clothing. What is it saying? What is it advertising? Notice the Bible doesn't say that she is a harlot. The Bible says she dresses like one. In other words, a strange woman rejects God's principles of modesty. She rejects God's principles of identity. She rejects the scriptures that say how a woman ought to dress.
That's right.
At least a biblical woman.
Amen.
You say, what are they? Well, 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10. In like manner, also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works.
Amen.
The biblical woman dresses modestly.
Amen.
She covers herself. She has an attitude of shamefacedness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. You see, she does not embrace God's principles, and instead what she does, watch this, is she purposefully dresses to draw men's eyes to her body. She likes the attention. By the way, that's in everybody. It's in every woman. They like to be looked at. They like to be wanted. In fact, they want to be wanted. Here, this strange woman, again, she wears skirts and clothing that's too tight fitting or too short. She wears tops that are too low. She wears form-fitting pants or shorts that all reveal her body, and it's sending a message. I think we know, at least I hope you do, if we'll be honest about it, that men's issues are in the eyes.
Amen.
What they see. You see, this woman she's advertising. She's preaching a message, if you will. She's sending a message, if you like that better. She's advertising her rejection of God's principles in this area of life, her disdain of chastity and purity. Her clothing suggests to men that she is open and available. You see, clothing's a language that everybody hears. It's a language without words. But it sends a loud and clear message, especially for the strange woman. You see, a Christian lady, the biblical femininity, chooses carefully what she wears. She selects clothes that quiet her womanly form, not accentuates it, making her look feminine but not cheap.
Amen.
See, this woman's on the hunt. By the way, men, you see a woman dressed like that, understand the same thing. That woman's on the hunt. Ladies, if you dress that way, you're sending a message that you're on the hunt by your clothing. So we see her clothing, and we also see another thing about her hunt. We see her communication. Look at verse 13. Boy, she's going to get this guy. She knows just what to say. By the way, ladies, you know just what to say too. So do men. We know what to say. Let's look at the story that she comes up with in verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. Boy, she's a shy woman. And with an impudent face, notice, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. She's a flirt. Can I put it this way? A shameless flirt. You know, Proverbs 6:24 says this, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Again, we're looking at the antithesis of biblical femininity, of the godly woman, and we're finding this strange woman, and there's a characteristic here that she hunts and she uses her clothing and her communication. She's a flirt in all kinds of ways. By the way, ladies, there's more ways. I know you know this. We all know this, but I'm just saying it. There's more ways to flirt than just with words. Oh. How come you're not that happy around your parents? How come you're not that happy in school? How come you're not that happy around your spouse? You see, she flirts with her words. She flirts with, bring it into today's vernacular, if you will, her texts, her emails, her posts, her tweets. Whatever you want to say, you understand what I'm saying. She knows what to say, how to communicate things in such a way that she is flirting. She knows how to look and stare. Right, baby? She flirts with her body, the way she stands. Are you listening tonight? We're talking about the strange woman. We're talking about characteristics of the strange woman. We're talking about things that is in our culture and in almost every woman. It's inbred and it's seeped into the lives of many Christian women. She speaks, looks, acts suggestively and seductively. Well, I didn't say anything. You don't have to sometimes. Her message is loud and clear by her actions. That's the strange woman. So we see her clothing. We see her communication. But then third, we also see her concealing. Look what happens in verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. What? Peace offerings? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Old Testament, right? Sacrifices. Meat offerings, trespass offerings, sin offerings, peace offerings. That's what they did. They went to the temple, the tabernacle. They gave an offering. That was their religious duty. Amen. She said, I go to church. I heard the sermon. You see, what's happening here is this strange woman, don't miss it here, men, don't miss it. She does not like to reveal what she truly is.
Right.
She'll tell you how good looking you are, and you'll believe it. Really? Go look in the mirror. Let's read on. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thee, thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with... Boy, is she convincing. She's hiding some things, and that's what the strange woman does. They conceal herself. She conceals herself from others. They conceal themselves from parents, from teachers, from authority figures, of even her husband, if you notice down there. He's gone away. You see, the strange woman likes to appear spiritual. She likes to appear moral. She likes to appear kind. She will even cloak herself in religion. And she thinks she's fooling everybody. But she's not. You know, when I was on staff at Northeast years ago, I started out the assistant dean of students, and then I went to the dean of students. And we had this rule. You may think it's funny on the surface, but I think you'll understand it once I explain it. We told the students, you don't determine who a couple is. We do. Right? In other words, we're not a couple. Okay, so you sit next to each other in chapel and you gawk at each other in the lunchroom for hours and you just flirt and do all this stuff and you're telling me we're not a couple. You're a couple. My point is this, is that the strange woman tries to conceal what she really is. She hides it. She hides what she's doing. And by the way, the discerning person can see what she truly is.
Amen.
You know, she thinks she's unique. But the truth of the matter is she's an old familiar story. And I'm not talking about the gospel here. But she's one of a multitude that have gone down, trod this path as the strange woman. And she's a woman that's on the hunt. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you a flirt? You on the hunt? You say, well, I'm married. Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. What's your online activity look like? How many people are you talking to? Well, it's just a friend that's the opposite sex. Really? Really? It's funny because you'd see clearly if I said to you, well, I'm going to have coffee with someone, a woman. It's not my wife, but we're just friends. You'd be like, are you kidding me? And I'd agree with you.
Amen.
Then why doesn't it apply to you as well? You see, we see the characteristics of this woman. We see her heart. We see her home. We see her hunt. And then lastly, we see this, and we're done. Number four is her hurt. What is the end of this? What is the end of this strange woman who hunts for the man or the young man who's on the prowl, if you will, who forsakes all of God's ways and say, I'm going to do it my way. How's that going to work out for you? I'll show you how. Look at verse 25 of chapter 7. We read, let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray into her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
Amen.
Talks about in verse 22 about this young man who goes after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. When I lived in Vineland, I better go quick here because we're about done. When I lived in Vineland, I lived in these townhouses, and behind the townhouses was Markachi's meat market, where they raised cattle. And we always knew the night there was a night of the slaughter, because you'd see the light on in the slaughterhouse, and you'd hear all the moans. And I asked one time, How do you get them all in there? Because what they do, and I don't mean to be graphic, but they basically, they cut their jugular. It's what they do. What they do is they actually train them to put their head between bars to eat. It's training them that, okay, this is okay, until the day comes, and they do that, and they put them in an apparatus that looks just like that, and they think they're going in to eat, and the thing comes up and slits their vein, their jugular. That's what he's talking about here with this woman. You go after her and you say, well, it's not, everything's fine. Everything's working out all right for me. I think I'm getting away with things. Yeah, just like an ox, notice, goeth to the slaughter. Because the day's coming that jugular is going to get cut and your little world's going to come tumbling down.
Amen.
And tumbling down hard.
Amen.
Because the story of the strange woman has never, never ended well.
Amen.
It always ends in misery.
Right.
She hurts and destroys many. You say, what does she destroy? Write some of these things down. She destroys purity.
Amen.
Her own and others. She destroys marriages.
Amen.
She destroys future marriages. She destroys families. Mark it down. When that strange woman gets involved, understand what happens. She is going to be like an atomic bomb in that home when it goes off. She destroys reputations.
Amen.
Some things people can forgive. But the sin of adultery, that carries a mark. The Bible talks about it for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Your reputation will be destroyed. Your relationships will be destroyed with your wife and your husband, whoever, whichever side you're on of this thing, your children. Do we understand what this strange woman does? As she's a wrecking ball!
Amen.
She'll steal the most precious thing you have outside of your salvation, and that is your testimony for God.
Amen.
It'll be gone. It'll be blemished. Some people remember you the rest of your life for that activity with the strange woman. Proverbs 5:5 says this, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. My point is this, and we're done here. No Christian lady should want to live this type of life.
Amen.
The life of the strange woman. And if you do, and if your heart is being turned away from God and His Word and His ways, understand something tonight. You have been deceived. You have been tricked. You have been conned. You have been duped by the devil himself.
Amen.
You see, the goal of the godly woman is to glorify God.
Amen.
The end of the strange woman is death. Amen. And destruction.
Amen.
And everything that this woman does should be avoided.
Amen.
By the godly woman.
Right.
Should be. You see, the strange woman, she is the antithesis of biblical femininity. And if you have even a hint of one of her traits, I'll tell you, tonight, get rid of it. Come to God. Say, God, forgive me. Help my heart. Help me to trust you in your word. Because I want to be the godly woman that you want me to be. You'll be glad you were. Amen. Let's pray together.